you so much for your sowing into the kingdom of God. And how many glad that he said when you tithe and give offerings, he rebukes the devourer for our sake. Amen. So there's some blessings when we give. And I thank you for answering people's prayer. Out in the foyer, I'll mention a few things. I have some CDs that you've never heard here, but there's some out there. They're $7 a piece. You get more, you get a discount. But I was in Connecticut preaching in the Friday, Saturday, Sunday over Memorial Weekend, and the pastor told me he just talked with a woman in the church. She said a year ago, her and her husband were getting a divorce. And she went out to our table. She bought every CD we had. And I didn't know, you know, she didn't mention any of that. But she said, I hated my husband. I didn't want to be around him, didn't want to be married anymore. But after 6 months, they got back together. They're both serving the Lord. She said, by putting the Word of God in my life every day, it changed me. How many understand the Word of God will change you? When I got saved, I used to listen to preaching all the time, and I've got back to that again because I felt like I lost something. But the reason I did it when I first got saved is because I still wanted to sin every day. I was a sinner. I had practiced sinning for a long time, so I had to break that habit. And you know how I did it? By putting the Word of God. I couldn't sin and listen to the Bible being preached at the same time. And I'll tell you what it did. It began to renew my mind. So those are available out there. Then we have a book that we've written. It's been here. I've had it many times, but some of you have never got it. And I'll tell you what, it's been inspiring people. A church in the Bronx, they have 5 services on Sunday. The pastor bought that for every man in their church, and he said it inspired us to name 2018 the year of the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost, so that got me excited. But he said, you know, we have 5 services, but we have a building program. We want to build so we don't have to have so many services. And he said, we raised $1 million, and it was a struggle. He said, but after reading that book, the men in the church, we've now raised $3 million, and by 2020, we'll have our building finished. How many know God will inspire you by the Holy Ghost? Amen? So that's great. And then that book's $10. And then you guys all know this is my favorite word in the world. Everybody say whatever. All right. You know, when you're born a smart aleck, this is one part of me that didn't ever get redeemed. I love it, but the back part says, whatever's pure, just, lovely, you think on these things, Philippians 4:8, and that's kind of that more like an exercise material shirt, but, you know, I wear one and I don't exercise. Sometimes I do, but then I quit for 2 weeks, and then I try it again for a week, and you know how that goes. That's how my exercise life. But these are available out there. They're a good shirt, very good shirt, and you'll love them. They'll be your favorite, but they're worth about 15, but I sell them for 20. That was where you're supposed to say whatever. Everybody say whatever. Now you know how to use that word, all right? All right, but they're out there, and we have them from small to 3 extra large. And then if anybody wants to be a partner with us, we have a little brochure out there. Fill it out. We pray for our partners every day, and we're thankful for them. We can't do what we want to do, but, you know, I talked about on that video, why just have 20,000 out when I can preach the same? If I added a zero, I could have 200,000 out. You know what the difference is? More sound, more advertising, more money, but I reach more people. So you get some partners, you can do those things. So help us out, if you will, and as the Lord lays it upon your heart. Pastor, appreciate you so very much. Love Hans and Jackie Hess and their daughters so very much. They've been our friends a long time, and I know that Pastor has a lot of friends, but he doesn't let all of them preach here. So I count it a privilege to be here with you, and this week we're going to have a good time. We know the world says success begins on Monday, but we, the people of the church, we believe it starts on Sunday. Now what happens? The Bible said if you'll meditate on the Word of God, then you'll have good success. But that's not all it says. You meditate on the Word of God day and night. Okay, so that tells me if you want good success, you got to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen. Come on. I don't know. You know, we're going to have a great time. There's no excuse. Bring your kids. They're going to have a great time in Kids Town or whatever they're calling it with the Kids Crusade. And I know they'll be blessed, and you'll have a wonderful time. Bring somebody with you that needs touch from God, whether it's healing, salvation. Don't pre-qualify anybody. You know, they don't like our kind of church. Well, you never know what God can do. Amen. God can do something great for them, all right? Stand with me today. Praise God. I want you to look to the book of Luke. And I want to begin there with Luke chapter 12 and verse number 5. Pretty strong word, but I was reading my Bible and it was in there, so I got to have it. I got to read it and believe it too, all right? Some people don't like all the Bible. They just like little good feely things and that make them feel real nice. Well, this one probably not going to make you feel really great unless you're ready. So when I read this, I don't get worried about it because I know I'm ready. It's talking about the final judgment. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Let's pray over the reading of the word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the word of God would forcefully penetrate every heart that's here today. Lord, those that are here that are backslidden, those that do not know you, those that have sin in their life, make it hot in here for them today, that they'd be drawn to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We declare this is the day of salvation. Be saved in the name of Jesus. We believe today, Lord, that there's complete freedom in this place, that I may minister with the ability that you give. We are depending on you, Lord, and I pray that we'll connect to heaven today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. This is a reference, really, to the final judgment. And I know that I get a lot of people say, I don't like old-time preaching because it brought fear, but this is in our Bible. This is in our Bible, and some do not like strong messages because it brings fear. But as I was reading the Bible this week, I ran up across this scripture, and it made me think. I'd rather, pat you on the back and you go home, and I encourage you that way, but this will be an encouragement. And even one of the most modern translations says it like this in Luke 12:5 in the New Living Translation, but I tell you whom to fear. Fear God who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. Now, we're told to fear God because he has control over eternal consequences. Today, I cannot send you to hell, nor do I want to send anybody to hell, but I hope to stop as many people from going to hell as possible. And this morning, I ran into a man that is from this town that a lot of people know, we were talking to him about church a little bit, he said, well, I'll tell you where I'm going. It's really going to be hot. So he knew about the Bible. And he knew about church. He said, I've sinned so much, and I've kept sinning, and I keep sinning. He said, there's no hope for me. That's what he said. And he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, we serve a God. His mercy endures forever. So we got to take the whole gospel. We can't just pull out a scripture like this and blast people with it and leave it alone because there's two sides. Are you understanding me? This is true, and yet mercy is true. How do we reconcile the both? Well, I will tell you that there's only one of two places that you will spend eternity. And I always say that the most important question that you can ever ask anybody is this. When you die, where will you go? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? I ask you that, and I want you to ponder that question in your own mind. When you die, will you go to heaven or hell? I can remember a while back we were going to a concert that was on the Chickasaw Nation. They have their own place, their own tribal headquarters, and the Chickasaw Nation, the governor or the chief of that tribe, he's a full gospel man, a very great man. I preach for his brother and sister-in-law and his family are my friends. But we were going to a concert. I think it was Casting Crowns, and Jason Crabb was there with all of his family. And we were driving there. We'd never been to this place. Well, you know, today we have GPS. On my phone, I got two. One I like, one I don't like. But when one doesn't work, I try the other one. And then if either one of those don't work, I got another GPS sitting on the front row. She always tells me where to park, whether I like it or not. She said whatever to me. Hey, I work alone here. She can say stuff, but when I need help, she's not going to help me. I say, can you help me with that? You know, and because I'll forget a word, and she doesn't help me, so whatever. I'm just messing around. You don't know us. We love to banter a little bit. But I remember the day where we used to have a big map. Remember those big maps you bought at Walmart, Rand McNally, and they were about this big, and you'd keep it. The way we were, we traveled so much, we'd keep it, and then the cover would come off, and then Alaska and Alabama went missing, and then finally we'd have to buy a new one, right? Because when it got to Arkansas, we knew we needed a new map. But we were going to that concert, and all of a sudden, GPS said, turn here, and it was down a dirt road. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't go down dirt roads unless I know where I'm going. And so I didn't want to go down that dirt road, so we found a gas station out in the middle of the country boys working behind the counter. I walk up and I said, sir, we're trying to get to the Chickasaw Nation to go to the concert that they're having. He said it like this. I said, can you tell me how to get there? He said, you can't get there from here. That's what he said. And I believe there should be one place that you can't get from Fountain of Life. That one place that you can't get to from here today, and no one should be able to get to hell from here today. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe in America we've made it too easy to get to hell. This nation needs to be told. This city needs to be told. This church needs to be told. Your family needs to be told. You cannot get to hell from here. I read a story in Luke chapter 15. We're going to begin with verse 11 about a young man that did everything he could do to get to hell. We call him the prodigal son, but let's read that story in verse 11 of chapter 15 of Luke. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. Were those Tide Pods? Come on, I don't know. Some of you are just not going to get with me today. I feel it. And no one gave him anything. Verse 17, this is my favorite verse out of the story. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. as we read this story about the prodigal son. I would say that this prodigal son, he did everything he knew to do to get to hell. He did all he could do to get to hell. And my goal in life and today is to keep people from going to hell. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how not to go to hell. Is that okay with everybody? We got the prodigal son. He shows us the way to hell. But I believe in this story you can find how not to go to hell. Number one, you can't get to hell through closeness with God. You can't get to hell through fellowship or closeness with God. The Bible said we are to draw near to God, and what? He draws near to us. Or if we get close to God, He will get close to you. And we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." When we read the word darkness in the Bible, it refers to Satan and Satan's kingdom. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Today, sin will separate you from God. Sin separates, but fellowship or closeness with God cleanses. How many know that the blood of Jesus still cleanses us from every sin? We were all sinners, but thank God for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us. I am washed by the blood of Jesus. I thank God that what Jesus did on the cross was not for nothing, but what He did cleansed me from my sin and gave me access to my Father God. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" What are you close to? What are you fellowshipping with? I think it all goes back to this. I love this. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It goes on to say, "He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." I believe we need to be careful about where we hang out. And I want to hang out under the shadow of the Almighty, under the umbrella of God. Now, some people don't really like to be there because fellowship with God brings conviction. And I know some people do not like the word conviction, but conviction is one of the advantages of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we are drawn to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. I thank God that when I was messed up, that conviction came in my heart and brought me to Jesus. I am not sad about that. I don't back up about it, but I thank God it was His mercy that reached down and lifted me up. Fellowship with God brings conviction. And because of that, that's why some people don't want to come to church anymore. Some people don't want to get in His presence. Remember Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they hid from God. Some people hide from God. They think that this is where God is. And we know God comes because where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of us. So we know when we come together, He's in this place. And some people don't like it because it yields conviction in their life. You realize that we have friends, and some of our friends at times, you know, that they will kind of, we notice that they're drifting away, that they don't want to do anything anymore, and they don't want to hang out, and we don't see them the same places we used to see them. It's almost like you feel like they're avoiding you. You got some family like that too, you know. They don't invite you to everything that you used to go to. Let me tell you, because you're not God and we're not God, but we represent God to them, and many times people want to hide from anything that reminds them from God. The anointing will make some people nervous. Are you listening to me? Say, "You are making me a little uncomfortable, preacher. Could you preach something else?" Well, I could preach on daisies, but the presence of God will still make the sinner uncomfortable, and I don't care because that's His mercy to you today. Somebody said, how do you know I'm not close to God anymore? Well, you don't praise him with a vitality like you used to. You don't want to pray. You don't want to read his word like you used to. You don't want to be in his presence like you used to. And when you do come to the house of God, it takes a full 30 minutes for you to get a little praise out. I'm going to tell you, that's how we know you're not close to God anymore. I don't have to come into this place for 30 minutes and somebody crank me up. I'm going to tell you, I come here to lift up the name of Jesus. I was born to show forth the praises of him who brought me out of darkness into his glorious light. I heard an old story about a little boy that his mother was working on dinner and she wanted the little boy to go to the cellar. I know we don't do cellars that much anymore, but if you had a grandma, maybe you had a cellar. I don't know. In Oklahoma, we still have some cellars because they keep you safe from tornadoes. I don't know why I said it that way, but if I could take that one back, I would. But we have some. I used to go to a cellar that was dirt. And, you know, we put a little thing in our garage, and we were wondering, you know, is it safe? I said, it's safer than a dirt cellar. Whatever. I got off a little bit. So the little boy, he says, Mom, I don't want to go to the cellar. You know it's dark down there. There's no light down there. I don't want to go to the cellar because I'm afraid of the dark, Mom. She said, look, I need you to go to the cellar. I don't have time to get the jelly that I need. You've got to go down there. And she said, look, God is everywhere, including the cellar. So the boy finally, reluctantly, he walks down the steps to the bottom of the cellar. He gets to the bottom of the cellar. It's really dark. He holds his hands up. He begins to pray. He said, God, I know you're in here, but don't move, because if you move, you'll scare us both half to death. I think that's how some people come to church. Don't move, because you'll scare me half to death. I'm going to tell you, I grew up in church like this, and the way it was in our family, if you had, I dated a girl and she didn't go to our church, I got to go out on one date, but before the second date, I had to invite her to church. And so if there was one that was nice enough to go out twice, you know, or took pity on me to go out the second time, you know, I would invite her to church and I would pray. I wasn't much of a prayer warrior, but I'd pray, Lord, don't let Sister so-and-so give a message in tongues, and please don't let anybody get too emotional, and let's not have anybody get saved today, and please don't let anybody cry while we're singing about the cross. Are you understanding? Some of you come to church like that. You're much more happy when God doesn't move. But I'm going to tell you something today. I believe the bottom line is God is going to invade your life today. Get ready in the name of Jesus. Number two, you can't get to hell. You can't get to hell through closeness with God's people. You can't get to hell through closeness with God's people. The prodigal son. The Bible said in Luke 15:15, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. He tried to get away, and he found himself, he was hired by a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. One translation reads like this, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. I'm going to tell you, and he sent him to feed the pigs. Now, you got to understand, sometimes different cultures have different things, but you got to understand, as a Jewish young man, feeding the pigs was very offensive. Here he'd hit rock bottom so bad that he is now feeding the pigs what he thought was unclean. I don't know, but I ate some unclean bacon today, and I thank God for it before I ate it. But I really don't want to feed the pigs. But he joined himself to a citizen of that country. See, if I were to ask today how many believes Jesus is coming soon, most people would agree with me. Most people would agree, but yet the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of his coming, drawing near. So as we believe Jesus is coming soon, we should be gathering together more often for the word and for fellowship. This is not the time to isolate yourself. In America, we've made it easy. Even this church, we can watch preaching on a live stream. We put it on our Facebook, and we believe the word will not return void. I don't have a problem with that, so listen to me. I'm not putting that down, but listen, the internet is not your church. The internet, you need the fellowship of God's people. You need to rub shoulders with some people that praise. That is there when you it's there as a convenience, but it is not there to replace what God has. We need the house of God. The house of God is your gateway to heaven. Now, don't get under condemnation if you are an invalid or have problems. We thank God you can watch. I love to watch, but I usually watch on Monday or Tuesday, and I come to the house of God when I can and when it's available to me. Listen, don't get upset at me. If you heard something different, you need to replay it tomorrow and listen to what I said. See, I think some people isolate themselves and then they get into depression and they get on all kinds of stuff. I'm going to tell you, and they think nobody loves them. Well, if nobody knows where you're at, you don't answer the door, you don't take advantage of the opportunity, we can't help you as much as we'd like. Are you understanding me? I'm still trying to preach it here. Now, listen. We have clubs and fraternities that people join. And these clubs, they help each other. A lot of people do network marketing and they do networking. And so I have a business and I use your business and all those kind of things. People are usually invited and then they make a commitment because of a club or a fraternity. I was in a fraternity years ago and we helped each other. The ideal was that when you got out, you would have legacies that would help you in the business field. Lawyers and doctors and teachers and all these different things. And that was the idea. But in my fraternity, it went more like this. Mostly it was drink this, smoke this, try this, and we helped each other go to hell. The prodigal, he was keeping company with the wrong kind of people. He was keeping company with the wrong group, sticking around unsuitable people. Now, I want to ask you who you're hanging out with. What do your friends look like? Are the people you spend time with pointing you in the right direction, pointing you to God, pointing you to Jesus, pointing you to the Holy Spirit, pointing you to holiness? It seems to me that there are a lot of Christians that want to point you in the way that says you can get away with this and a little bit of that and still make it to heaven. I don't want to hang out with people that are barely going to make it to heaven. I want to hang out with some people that will point me to the cross and point me to heaven and point me to salvation and point me and my friends in the right direction. See, you know, there's a lot of people trying to see how little can I do and still make it to heaven. I don't want to hang out with those people. What if they're wrong? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. You better watch who you hang with. You can't get to hell through fellowship with God's people. In Acts 16, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You read this story. Paul and Silas, they're beaten, stripped naked, left for dead. Tomorrow they're going to be put to death. And I don't know what the scenario is, but I don't think they were there with their nice terry cloth robe on, relaxing in their man cave. I don't think they were there, on a retreat. They're probably bleeding. And I don't know which one, Paul or Silas, but he probably said, "Hey, bud, look at all these guys that are in this prison with us." He said, "It might be bad out, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sing some praises to God here in the midnight hour. And I believe this is a bad situation, but these prisoners are not going to go to hell through us." Number 3, you can't get to hell from a godly home. You can't get to hell from a godly home. Luke 15:13. The prodigal, he knew that. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into a far country. He's trying to get away from that godly home. He's trying to get away from his father because he knew he couldn't have that wild living at home. And I think some people are trying to get away from God and his authority, and they want to do whatever they want to do. The Bible said it's called rebellion. How many know you can't do whatever you want to do? You know, I when I was growing up, I had a mouth. And I'd say, when I grow up, I'm not going to listen to anybody. You know what? When you get that guy with the black and white car with the blue and red lights behind you, I mean, no, that doesn't work very good. Bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you? It doesn't work out saying, I'm not gonna listen to what you say. I've been pulled over a few times. It works over a lot better when you just say, you're the boss. Whatever you want. Last night I was watching Barrett Jackson getting ready for church, where they auction cars off. And there was a car that went through with 800 and some horsepower. And I thought, man, that would be so awesome. But can you imagine? I get pulled over with 305 horsepower. What would happen with 800? But I found out there's always somebody to answer to. And he said, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. There's something about obedience. Listen, if somebody were a guest in your home, I doubt you would let them come in your living room and continue to take the Lord's name in vain in front of your children. You'd probably call them on it. And I doubt you'd let them break any of the other Ten Commandments right there in the living room. But most of us will go home and we'll watch a movie or a show that shows our family the quickest way to get to hell. Some of you say, now you're really preaching kind of mean. Don't you preach love? I'm going to say, yeah, I preach love. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm going to preach a lot of different messages this week, so you relax. But I believe those in your house ought to have to go to a far country to get to hell. I find some people allow stuff in their home that I just don't even understand. They shouldn't live even close to home and be able to get to hell. The prodigal son had to go to a far country. Listen, my dad was a pastor, right? The Assemblies of God pastor in our town. He pastored the biggest church in town, and my best friend was his dad was the pastor of the second largest church in town, the Southern Baptist Church. So we were best friends. We had revival one Sunday beginning with one of the most conservative preachers in America. We kind of did that. We usually had one that was real hard. He'd knock your socks off, and the next one would put them back on. So we have this guy come preach Sunday night after church. My buddy and I, we get in the car. You know, we drug Main Street for a little bit. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. What do you want to do? And now listen, I was called to preach at age 15. But for the next 4 years, I tried to disqualify myself from preaching. All right? I didn't want to be what my dad was. Didn't want to be what my grandfather was. So I'm in that stage right there. I'm going to disqualify myself. What do you want to do? That's what he says. I said, I don't know. Somehow we came up with the idea we're going to go smoke some dope. All right, and so after church, after revival, I'm 15 years old. 15 years old, and he said, where do you want to go smoke dope? I said, I don't know. Normally, if we did it, we drove out of town about 15 miles. There's a lake outside of town, and that way nobody'd see us in town. All right, because we were athletes. That makes me laugh when I say it now. We played on the ball team, and in those days, if you smoked even a cigarette, you got kicked off the team if somebody saw you. Didn't matter if it was at school. Whatever you did, they were in your life. You know, now, well, you can't do anything to me because you don't have any authority to me except when I'm in your class for an hour. Well, they had authority over us 24 hours a day. I had to cut my hair a certain way to be on the ball team. It couldn't touch the top of your ear. And I had big ears. Thank God I grew into them. So we didn't want anybody to see us smoking, and for sure not smoking dope. So here's the mindset of my 15-year-old brain. I said, my mom and dad are going to be out with the evangelist. They're going to have a steak, and they'll be out for hours. They'll be talking, having a good time. I said, let's just go to my house. I was a pretty smart 15-year-old, wasn't I? So we go to the house. We go in the garage. We proceed to have our little Cheech and Chong show. All right? We're out there, and all of a sudden, we're looking out the windows of the garage, and, you understand what's going on? My buddy says, that our house sit on the hill, we could see about 2 miles into town. He looks in 2 miles into town, he said, I think that's your parents' car. I said, no way. I looked at my watch, I said, we got at least an hour and a half more. Car comes up, turns toward our neighborhood. He said, I think it's your parents. I said, no way. We got at least an hour and a half more. They pull in the driveway. I said, it's my parents. He says, what do you want to do? And, we're not thinking real clear because, we've been smoking the devil's lettuce. We're not thinking that clear. I said, you hurry up and go home. I'll take the blame for whatever happens. I'm going to say you weren't involved. Just go home. Go to bed. So he ran out. When he ran out, I reached up, pulled the cord out of the garage door opener so my parents couldn't open the garage. And then I proceeded to go into the bathroom and lock myself in, trying to get my head clear enough to think, what am I going to tell them? Well, I can't think of anything. And I'm not a liar. Are you understanding me? I've never been a liar. I don't even like liars. I'm going to tell you, the principal, all my friends would lie, and I'd just tell them the truth. He'd bust me and let them off. Because the church I went to, we preached from the pulpit, all liars have their place in the lake of fire. And I believed that. I didn't know about, what it says about smoke and dope. I hadn't got to that part yet, okay? So my dad, he comes in. I'm locked in the door in the bathroom, and he's yelling at my mother or talking loud, not really yelling. He's, Dorothy! And he's like, something's going on. He knows. And I know this is bad. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't lie to my dad, but I'm going to start today. That was my mindset. I'm going to tell a lie that'll get me in trouble, but not as big as if he really knows. So he's knocking on the bathroom door, Doug! And I'm like, I'm busy, trying to get some more time. Finally, I come out, and he said, what's going on here? I want to know the truth. I said, well, the truth is, I said, I was in the garage, and we were smoking cigars. He shook his head. He said, I know what cigars smell like. He said, you're lying to me. He leaves and goes and sits down on the bed, and he picks up the phone, and he says, Dorothy, get me the phone book. My mom hands him this little bitty tiny phone book from the little town I grew up in. He starts looking up. I said, Dad, who are you going to call? He starts dialing. I said, Dad, who you calling? He says, Harvey Rutherford. I know that means nothing to anybody in here. But he was a man that went to our church. He was a highway patrolman in our church. I said, Harvey Rutherford. When he said Harvey Rutherford, I began to tell him the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I reached over and hung up the phone. I told him, I said, Dad, why are you calling Harvey Rutherford? He said, look, son, I'm pastor. He said, this is not going to go over very big. In a small town, you're the news. He said, it may get me kicked out as pastor of the church. He said, I doubt people have much compassion about this. He said, but I'm going to tell you one thing, son. We might have to move, but we are not. You are not going to get to hell from this house. That's what he said. You can't get to hell from this house, son. And there's a lot of punishment that came after that. But I think there's something to be said here. This week, we're going to fill this house with the presence of God. Acts 2 filled, the Holy Spirit filled all the house where they were sitting. We need to fill the atmosphere with the presence of God. And maybe you have a hellraiser in your home, but it's time that you raise a little bit of heaven. Somebody say amen. The Bible said that this young man in verse 17, my favorite verse, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? He remembered what his father's house was like. He recognized what condition he was in. He's eating what the pigs eat. I'm asking you today, what condition are you in spiritually? Today, I'm going to say it like this. This week, we're going to do everything we can, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit do all He can. And I think that's the attitude that we need to have about hell. We're going to do everything that we can to keep people out of hell. But we're going to let the Holy Spirit do everything He can. See, when he was a great way off, he's off. He's messed up. I don't know, but there's some people that are off. But his father saw him and had mercy. I want everybody to stand with me. Stay with me. We're going to dismiss together in a moment. Three things I'm going to tell you really quick. Everybody listen to me. Three things I'm going to tell you really quick. You will stand before a holy God. That is the Bible. You will stand before a holy God. Number two, you'll be judged for the way you lived on this earth. You'll be judged for the way you lived on this earth. And number three, you will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Which is it going to be? You will stand before a holy God and you'll be judged by the way you lived on this earth, and you'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. Which one's it going to be? Heaven or hell? Today, that man I talked to, I'm going to get back with him. I think I dropped the ball a little bit with him. I think I should have pushed it a little bit more. But, I'm a night guy. He caught me in the morning. But I need to be ready always to preach. I'm going to get back. I know where he eats lunch. I'll be there. Coincidence. Oh, good to see you again. It's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. All of us are going to stand before a holy God. We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. And all over this building, I want to ask you, if you died, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you had to stand before God, are you ready? Would you go to heaven? Would you spend eternity in heaven or hell? If you're not sure, I'm talking to you today. Or if you're like that man today, he's positive he's going to hell. I'm talking to you too. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Where would you spend eternity, heaven or hell? If you say, preacher, I'm not sure, or I know I'd go to hell. I'm not sure today. Maybe you got sin in your life. There'll be no sin in heaven. You don't want to be with sin in your life when you stand before God. I guarantee that. Because that's why He sent Jesus. That was His mercy. Listen to me, in this building today, if you're not ready for heaven, you're not sure you're ready, you need a fresh start and a new beginning. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? All over this building, would you lift up your hand right now? Come on, quickly. You say, I'm not where I should be with God today. Come on, I'm not where I should be. Listen, hands are up. Leave them up for a moment. I'm not sure I'd spend eternity in heaven, and I need your prayer today. Would you lift up your hand? I need a fresh start, a new beginning. Others, thank you for lifting those hands. Thank you for lifting those hands. Thank you for lifting your hands. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what internet hoax you believe. Really, they're not even a hoax. There's many lies on the internet. And they'll tell you you can get to heaven any old way you want and all those different things. But I'm going to tell you something. God sent me here today, and there's conviction in your heart. You need to respond. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. If you're not sure where you'd spend eternity, you need a fresh start, a new beginning. I'm not asking you to join Fountain of Life. I'm not asking you to know how to pray. I'm not asking you to shake my hand. But I am asking you to get some guts. He said, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You deny me, I will deny you. But he said these words of mercy, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. All over this building, if you raised your hand or you should have, I don't care. You say, what would my family think? What would the preacher think? What would somebody else think? When you stand before God, it only matters what he thinks. So get some courage and come. This is your day for a fresh start and a new beginning. Step out of your seat right now, ma'am. Come on, sir. Come on in the back. Young man, come on. Would you come? Just excuse yourself and come. Come on. Come on, let some people out if they need out. Come on, it won't be a problem. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm asking you to come in this place. Thank you, young man. Come on. Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Somebody else today. We had numbers of hands go up. Get some courage and come. I'm going to wait just about 15 more seconds. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Would you come right now? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I need some people to be praying right now. Come on. You're not sure you're ready to meet God. I'm not asking where you go to church. I'm not asking those things. I'm asking about your eternity now. Come on. Is there anybody else that'll come? We're down to 10 seconds. I honor these young people that have come. But I think there's some more people. Come on, Dad, you need to come. 5 seconds. Come on, Mom, get your life right. Come on, you're in a condition that's backslidden. You're not where you should be. You need a fresh start, a new beginning. Somebody's here and the devil's lying to you to tell you you can go home and pray and work this out. That's the devil's lie to get you out of this place where we're fellowshipping with God. Come on, is there anybody else that'll come? There's still people coming. Come on. Come on, is there anybody else? Come on, Mom, you got a child next to you, and you might just reach over and say, I'll go with you. Come on, it's okay. Somebody else. I just feel a little check in my spirit not to hurry. I want somebody of faith to come stand behind every person that's here. Come on, if you're a person of faith, come on, stand behind. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or so here. I want somebody of faith. Come stand behind them. We're going to pray together. Have mercy in the name of Jesus. Anybody else want to come before I go on? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom in this place. I speak freedom in this place. Come on, this is the day. This is the day. God wants to do good things in your life. Come on. God's going to restore some people. Come on. God's going to restore some people. There's still some others that need to come. Come on. Come on. Good job. Come on. Come on. Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. I think I was rushing a little bit. I don't want to rush today. I may have preached too long, but I rushed my sermon even, but I don't think I should rush this. Lord, have mercy. Come on. Some of you don't want people to go to hell. Why don't you intercede right now in the name of Jesus? Just begin praying. Lord, loose people. Some are backslidden. Lord, loose them. Some are tormented in their mind. Loose them. Anybody else? Come on, young person. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Would you come? In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Everybody look at me now. Everybody look at me just for a moment. We already said you can't get to hell from Fountain of Life. That ought to be something we really believe. But I think when I look out here, some of you, I don't have to have a word of knowledge to know this, okay? Many of you have family that are not serving God. You have sons, you have daughters. Many of you have relatives and friends. How many would be bold enough to say, I'm going to do everything I can to keep my friends, family, and my children from going to hell? How many would step out of your seat and join me and just say, that's me, I'm going to do that. You can't get to hell through me today. Come on. Come on, join me here. We're going to pray together. Because I got a word for some people, especially for those that have children that are not serving God. If you're going to do something about it, I'm going to pray with you. But I got a word from God. It is a word from God. I'm going to tell you, it helped me. It will help you. Now listen to me. I want everybody to lift up both hands right now. Lift up both hands if you're physically able. We're surrendering to God right now. That's what we're doing. We're saying, I'm available to you. I want you to pray this prayer. Everybody help me. Come on. That's what we do. We're helping other people make it to heaven. Come on. Everybody say this with me. Dear God in heaven, I know one day I'll stand before you and I want to be ready. I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. He shed His blood for me. And that blood is cleansing me from every sin. I repent of my past. I have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. I'm never going to be the same. I believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And I boldly confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I will serve you, Jesus, all the days of my life. I give you everything I have today. I'm yours, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to stretch out your hands. Some of these that are here in the front, pray with those that you're with right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I say, devil, you're a liar. You take your hands off. I plead the blood over these young people, over their mind, over their body, over their spirit. Lord, let them be examples in the word. Let them be examples in every area in the name of Jesus. Lord, I plead the blood over their mind, body, and spirit. I say, devil, you're a liar in the name of Jesus. Let them rise up to be the men and women of God that you've called them to be. Today is the day of restoration. Restore and refresh and renew in the name of Jesus. Now lift up your hands, everybody, and thank Him right now. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today. And I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes. Say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt. Take away the shame. Take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray, and you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us. And join us on our website. Join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So, until next time, God bless.